Pharmaceuticals in surface water in places in New Jersey. And we have on the line with us this morning Steve Reynolds. He is the Director of Communications for the Great Swamp Watershed Association in Morristown. And I'd like to welcome you, Steve Reynolds, to the broadcast this morning with myself and Pam Brown. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Thank you for joining us this morning. Steve, what is this issue that we're hearing about, pharmaceuticals in the drinking water? In the surface water in that area? Tell us about that. What is happening?
Well, this is really a problem that has shown up around the country. It's been known about for almost a decade, at least, if not longer. But really, it's emerging into public consciousness right now. A study that was done a few years back found in the Passaic Basin, where about 800,000 to a million people get their drinking water, had several pharmaceutical chemicals detected in it that were not being filtered out through wastewater treatment plants or through the actual drinking water plants that process the water.
And so what kinds of pharmaceuticals are you finding?
There are hundreds that have been identified. There are probably many, many more that haven't been identified. You can find anything from antibiotics to mood stabilizers to heart medications and hormones like estrogen and testosterone. The one thing, though, to remember is that these are appearing in very small amounts. They're below sub parts per billion, so the levels are very small.
That's interesting. How are you finding these things? You're doing testing around these areas. What plants are in the areas that you're concerned about that may be at fault here for some of these leakages?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as a leakage. Okay. What I would say to you is that because this is an emerging problem, we have to understand that our water infrastructure was never actually designed to detect or filter out pharmaceutical chemicals. The other thing is that if they were designed to do that, they would have to be designed in order to filter out chemicals on a case-by-case basis, which means that we would be investing quite a bit of energy, time, and money into trying to get them out of the water.
Okay, well, pardon me for that misstatement about leaking, because we don't want to give the impression that there is, in fact, a leak anywhere. We don't know that at this point.
No, most of the pharmaceuticals are entering the water through human activity,
but
you know, what we put into our bodies comes out, so if we put medication in, it's got to come out and goes into our sewers. And because we've never really thought of too much about this issue in the public consciousness, it's something we haven't addressed yet.
Right. Well,
so just to clarify and go a little bit deeper into that, how exactly do these chemicals, first of all, I'm assuming that it's not just pharmaceutical chemicals. It's also other chemicals, right?
Correct. I mean, we know about many industrial chemicals. They're easy for us to wrap our heads around.
Right.
Mostly because they come from a single point source. Pharmaceuticals, though, are coming into the water supply from many different directions. You know, human beings are putting it in by not only excreting it into the sewer system, but by flushing excess pharmaceuticals and personal care products like shampoo, antibacterial soap is a big one,
right,
and other substances like that. We also get it in the water through our animals, the animals we husband and our pets.
So what exactly can actually be done about this then? Is this something where an intervention has to happen, you know, right at the source and starting to decrease these pharmaceuticals rather than increase them?
Yeah, our approach here at the Great Swamp Watershed Association is to work on behavior change. And now what we're not doing is asking people to stop taking medication for medical conditions.
Sure.
There's really no way we can ask people to do that.
Right.
But what we are asking people to do is engage in proper disposal of excess pharmaceuticals and personal care products. Where pharmaceuticals are concerned, there are now starting to be many places where you can drop off your excess pharmaceutical drugs. Whether or not they're controlled substances doesn't matter. You can drop them off in a secure location at many sheriff's offices and police offices, and many pharmacies will take them as well.
But it strikes me that most people, if you're given a prescription for some kind of medication by a doctor, then most people are actually going to use that prescription. So it strikes me that more of the, well, I mean, have you done research on really what proportion of these chemicals are coming from people not disposing of them in a better way, let's say, versus just, you know, going to the bathroom and excreting
right.
them?
Well, I think it's a matter of picking your battles. In addition to the proper disposal, we're also asking folks to cut back on unnecessary chemicals. One of the good examples is triclosan, which is an antibacterial agent that was originally designed only to be used in hospitals. That's a substance that has now really started to appear in many different household products, just hand soap, but, other detergents.
And, I mean, people, these are oftentimes endocrine disruptors.
Correct.
As well, which means that it throws off people's hormonal systems, which is possibly, at least, at the source of these, the incredible increase in hormone-based kinds of cancers, especially for women. I'm talking about breast cancer, which is now 1 in 7 women already have breast cancer. And so it's really frightening what you're saying here, to be honest with you, that these
right.
are now appearing in our water, and we're not only getting them from these sources where we're trying to avoid, but we have to have water.
Right. I would say two things. I mean, not only is it affecting human health, but you can see hormones and endocrine disruptors affecting wildlife, too. There was a famous study done in Canada that looked at introduction of estrogen into populations of fathead minnows, and we found that we were getting intersex fish, and there were other problems. But studies like that help us understand better what kind of effects we're going to see in the human population. And I think that the first thing to do is avoid panic. I think that we don't really know a lot about how many of these chemicals are going to behave. So it serves us to do a lot more research and do a lot more learning on our own about how we can reduce the issue, and also we need to be asking questions of our water utilities and our government entities to see, A, if they are testing for these chemicals, and B, if they can effectively address them in any way.
Well, one thing that I wonder if this wouldn't be some kind of a strategy also is that, you know, the United States is really an exception to some of the rules that European countries, as an example,
yes.
Have around chemicals. Because we say, well, let's just, you know, any company can put pretty much anything out there into the environment that they want to. And then later on, if we find out it's bad for people, then we'll address it. But you have freedom, alleged freedom, right, to put those things out there. Whereas other countries say, before you put it out, let's do our testing, let's do our due diligence, really. And people have a freedom from being poisoned by corporations. And that's
right.
a really different stance that we have in this country.
Well, I can tell you that recently New Jersey did pass a law that prohibits industry from dumping pharmaceuticals into wastewater sewers. There's also a law that prevents individuals from doing that. However, as you can imagine, enforcement is a difficult thing to engage in, primarily because testing for pharmaceuticals is incredibly expensive. So it's very hard to track back the source.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Stephen F. Reynolds, the Director of Communications and Membership at the Great Swamp Watershed Association in Morristown, New Jersey. And Steve, as we're, first of all, I just want to go on the record right now and say, I want the third hour back for this morning show. These issues, I mean, come on. These issues are too important. We, you know, 12 minutes is just not enough time to talk and, you know, certainly not even have listener input in any of these. I want the third hour back for this morning show. Okay, there, I've said it. Steve, are there any policies or regulations in place regarding pharmaceutical chemicals in surface water as we begin to close?
No, there are no regulations in place either at the federal level or at the state level, mostly because testing for it is very, very expensive, and also because we don't really understand the mechanisms that have an impact on us. So we're probably not going to see regulations for some time.
How can people get involved in this issue with you?
Well, we do a number of programs. We're having one this morning, in fact, where we've invited a water utility representative to come in and give us his take on the issue. And luckily, we have a very informed constituency, so they'll be asking some tough questions of him as well. We also do education programs out in our communities, not only within our watershed, but beyond. We have a great educator, Hazel England, who is very well-versed in this issue. And there are lots of other resources out there. If you're really interested in the science of pharmaceuticals and water, the U.S. Geologic Survey is one of the primary leaders in that research. In fact, they've actually just come out with a new breakthrough testing program for pharmaceuticals. It's limited, but it's a big step forward. Mm. We also, at the Great Swamp Watershed Association, have a really great white paper called Troubled Waters, which anyone can download from our website. And I will be posting it up to our blog this morning after our event, along with a list of places in Morris County and Somerset County, New Jersey, where you can drop off your excess pharmaceuticals.
Okay, one more time on the website, Steve Reynolds.
Our website is greatswamp.org.
Greatswamp.org. Simple enough. Well, Steve Reynolds, thank you so much for being on the broadcast.
Yeah, thank you. This is the kind of thing that makes you just go want to run into the hills screaming.